and I'm gonna talk to you about some things, and I know more people will be coming in, but let's just go to the Father. Let's talk to Daddy God for a moment, all right? Precious Father, we are so grateful and so thankful for your word. We thank you for the word. Lord, I want to say that again. I thank you for your word. I thank you that the word of God is true. Not a truth, but the truth. And we thank you that we can absolutely have an unshakable confidence in the fact that your word never fails, never has failed, never will ever fail. But that as we develop that absolute total trust in the word and trust in what we know God has said, every promise of that word belongs to us. As we have applied, Father, that word concerning our pastor. This is the answer. This is not, we're not looking for we'll see if we can try maybe to believe something. We already believe what the alreadys of God says. And that body of Jim Lillard has to absolutely come in line with the word of God, has no other choice, regardless of what the doctor said. It doesn't change God's word. And so, Father, we're thrilled today because we know the truth, not a truth. And we thank you for it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Tonight, I wanted to share some things with you. And before I do that, Mama, is there anything you want to say? I got plenty of time, but I just want you, is there something you want to say? Just go for it, you know. I am one that believes in being led by the Holy Spirit in everything that we do. Now, believe it or not, when I went to Hondo, I told Mama this. I said, I didn't tell Miss Sheila that I made the order of the service. But I didn't tell her what her involvement was until we got in the car and I said, here's the order of the service. And she looked at me and she said, thank you. But I want to say this to you as our church family. You would have been, and I know you are, but you would have been so proud of her. She got up there and just greeted those people like a natural, encouraged them, and just, you know, I think I'm going to say, you know, like I'm going to take something my pastor says. They just tolerate me, but they love Sheila. I'm telling you, they just fell in love with her, and it's good. Already, as I go into the word here in a minute, already God is, we are being led by the Spirit, and just the few hours that we've been there. We had scheduled a meeting with the board. We had a board meeting yesterday. We had a board meeting today. You know, we've got to do a lot of things that had to be done behind the scenes. So I got the board together today, and then, you know, officially we got all our names and the bank's accounts and all this kind of natural stuff you got to do. We did that, and so it was great. Well, before we went to the actual meeting, we were supposed to meet Pastor about 1 o'clock. We were just driving around and showing her the schools that possibly Javier's going to be going in. We don't know yet. We're just kind of praying about that because God's going to lead us. And so we went around and just to show her there's a place called DeHennis, which is about 7 miles up the road from the church, and real nice small little town. And went out there and looked at the schools and, you know, just looked all over the place and just praying. And came back and we had about 30 minutes and we're just praying in the Spirit, just praying in the Holy Spirit. And I said, honey, let's go to Walmart. And she goes, we already went because she needed to buy some things. Well, we already bought everything. I said, yeah. She said, we got time? Yeah, let's go to Walmart. So got over there, got out of the car, walked in the door, and there's a lady that was sitting there. And she went, Brother Alfonso. I said, and I looked and I said, well, Anna, I said, girl, what are you doing? She went to a New Covenant Fellowship for 17 years. And just by coincidence, I happened to go to Walmart. And she just went, tears in her eyes, and said, we've heard what is happening, and all. We're so grateful. I want to come and visit. I said, yeah, you will. You're going to hook up again, girl. And so because the enemy came in and did all kind of different things, but God has been leading us by the Spirit, everything we're doing there. And we're excited. I tell you what, that town belongs to God. And it'll never be the same. Anyway, so I studied a series of I'm going to be doing a teaching on as the fact that the failed attack that came. I don't know about you. I can only speak for me. I have been in school. Anybody feels that way? We've been in schooling, preparing. God's preparing us for something greater than ourselves and what we even know or even comprehend. But I tell you what, we did miss y'all. We absolutely. I told my church time, and I said, you got to forgive me. I promise I still do this. You got to forgive me. But my heart is in two places today. I said, I am thrilled and honored that God has called me here to pastor you. I said, but you must understand, I said, my heart also is with my pastor and my church family. I said, we got the victory. We know we won. We know we are, and we're relentless in our pursuit and seeing every natural thing coming in line with the Word of God. I said, but I tell you, my heart is in my home church, but we know that's what God wants us to do. So, but it's a good day. I'm going to share something with you that I believe is going to spring things as Mama Jo ministered last week and kind of begin to whet our appetites about what's ahead of us, what is coming our way, and what we're going to be doing here. This is not a Bible class or a class or just because we don't have nothing else to do, and obviously you either. It's because we are learning some things from the failed attack. And you know, there's always I'm not a military person, but you know, I read some things and have heard different people. You know, there always has to be a response. How do we respond to something when an attack comes against us? That's why they train. That's why they prepare themselves. That's why they have booth camp, and they have all these different things prepared. Of course, they not only to be an attack, but when they go and do things that they have to do in a mission or something like that. But you know, when an enemy comes in, you got to be prepared. You cannot just lay down and say, well, you know, God's going to take care of me. And I'm talking about in the essence of the spiritual aspect of that. We can't just, and you know what? All of you know this, and every one of you in different ways have said this to me. And I tremble or shake at the thought of what would have happened to this church if, number one, the revelation of the word had not been taught in this church and intercession had not been going. We don't go there, but I tell you, we all know the answer to that. But because we were prepared, did you hear me? We were prepared in the Spirit and in the Word of God. We were not shaken by it. It didn't deter our determination to go forward and to say, wait a minute. Number one, how many of you at the time when that happened, you know. I'm sure that I can have every one of you say what your response was, but when you really begin to think about it, you begin to think about, I know what Pastor Jim would do. I know what he would want us to, in other words, I know what he would and what he has done in many of our lives, and he has addressed and helped us in our walk with God and deposited things in us. We knew. I mean, I know what Jim Little would do. You know, I can tell him as he would say, I can tell all the crap I'm going through, and he'll say, well, has God changed or has the word changed? Why are you telling me all this mess? I'm going to tell you something. We don't need to hear all that mess of what's going. We don't need none of that junk. What we need to continue to stay, what, decreeing, agreeing with the word, coming agreeing with the word of God, pray in the Holy Spirit. Let's not stop what we're doing here. But we have to understand that there's a rest that we must enter in when it comes to faith. Faith is, you're not anxious about anything. Faith, you rest in God and say, you know, he's God. There's a word that has been circulating among us, and I've heard Mama Jo, and I've heard Brother Richard. I've heard that he says, you know what? God's in control. The bottom line is, he's God, and he is in control, all right? So I wanted to share that with you because I'm going to do a teaching in our church about how do you respond when an attack comes? When the enemy comes in, what do you do? How do you respond? What mode do you go into? And so we started talking about that, and we're gonna, and the people seem to be very excited. We had a great crowd in our church. But I just want you to know that we were not shaken by this. And I told them that I was so proud to be acquainted then in relationship with this, my home church, because I said those people had rallied around and began to step up to the plate, men and everything. And I said, you know what? I said, you don't find many churches like that. And so we thank God for you. Amen. All right, turn over to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to be reading a lot of my scriptures, and I'm going to go back and forth between the King James and the Amplified Bible, all right? And I think that in order for us to begin to understand what we are, as we have chosen to call these classes, Life in the Spirit, is that it's a very two, one, of course, the word, but there's one very important aspect of our walk with God that has to be the springboard of everything that we do concerning our relationship with God. Obviously, number one is we must have a steady diet of the Word of God, not just Sunday morning, not just Wednesday night, but ourselves. As we go home, you know, the Bible talks about the Berean people. That Berean people were the kind of people that heard what Paul said, and they went home and said, let's see if this guy told us the truth. They went out to search out the scriptures as to make sure that what they heard was the truth. How many people you know, and perhaps in other churches, that hear, you know, they just take whatever the preacher says. But they don't go home and say, okay, let's dissect this. Not judging it in the sense of, but it's, hey, I want to make sure that what I'm learning is what? The truth, right? And so that's the basis. The number two thing is, I said to you last week, I was going to, and I am going to talk to you about how to have an intimate relationship with God. You know, a lot of people, there's two words that I kind of use interchangeably. People do it, but I happen to believe there's a difference in it. One is relationship. The other one is fellowship. I've had people that, well, you know, they think that fellowship and relationship is the same thing. I don't believe that. I believe the Bible, it tells it very clear, and we're going to get into those things. But as a springboard scripture, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to read one scripture there. And I want to take a word out of that, because then we're going to begin to share some things with you about that. As we begin our life, or in our walk of life in the Spirit, there's two things, again, that becomes essential. The Word. You cannot survive without the Word of God. You have got to be making deposits on the inside of it. Number one is, you could call it prayer, you could call it what you want to, but I'll tell you what, it's fellowshipping with God. When I'm talking to you about fellowship with God, I'm not talking about going to God and giving him all your great prayers or all these confessions you make. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spending time with the Father. All right? And we're going to go there in a minute. But listen, here's what it says in King James. Most of you, this is. But it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now notice what the words that he uses. We have been called unto fellowship. In other words, you and I have been called to fellowship with his Son and through the Holy Spirit. I was saying, we'll get into that. But in other words, you have a calling from God. The calling is, come and fellowship with me. In other words, come and spend that personal time with me. All right? Now look what it says in King James again. God is faithful. You know what faithful means? God's full of faith. He's full of faith. God's faithful. In other words, you can depend on him. Watch. Now watch. God's faithful, by whom you were called unto fellowship by his Son, Jesus Christ. Let me give it to you. I love this in the Amplified. Look what it says. God is faithful, reliable, trustworthy, and therefore ever true to his promise. And he can be depended on. By him you were called unto, listen to this, called into companionship and participation of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. companionship and participation with him. Well, how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, you know, Mark 11:23, you know, a lot of people use that. That's not, you know, that the Redeemer is teaching them the importance of what? The word in the believer's mouth. In other words, but that's not necessarily a prayer. A lot of people think that that's a prayer. That's not a prayer. That is it. In other words, the Redeemer says, therefore, whatever you say, look what it says. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he say, whatsoever he say. That's talking about the power of the word in your mouth. The power of the authority of the word of God in your mouth. Now that's not prayer. That's not fellowship. Paul is talking about something different here. He's talking about having fellowship with his son through the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I do that? Have you ever said, oh man, you know that, for example, hey, that Bob guy, man, he's a pretty nice guy. There's a relationship already because we know each other here. But you really don't know someone until you spend time with them personally. Until you take the time and says, let's you and I have interaction together. Let's get to know one another. No different in the realm of the Spirit. A lot of people talk about, I want to get closer to God. And here's the danger with some of the word churches. They think all they got to do is just read the word. No. That's everything springs out of the word. But the word teaches us that we must have fellowship with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch. I want to show some scripture with you. I was looking at that. Go over to Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. I'm going to give you a lot of word today. Is that all right? I'm going to give you some word today. Because I don't know about you. When I think about fellowship, I'm not thinking about coming to God to ask him and tell him all I need. When I come to God, I'm not thinking about coming and say, Lord, I need this, I want this, and I'm not even. No, I come to the Father and say, Father, I am just here to worship you, to love you, to magnify your name, to let you know how much and just begin to have a dialogue with the Father or begin. You know what? Prayer is just talking to God. And here, I want to show you something here. How many of you that Paul the Apostle knew what he was saying? In Ephesians chapter 1, again, I'm going to read the King James. Look at verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now watch. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the hope of your calling, and what the riches of his glory, of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to what? The working of his mighty power. Of course, we can finish out that, but look what it says. He says, in other words, Paul is saying something very profound here. Because, now, how can Paul pray? Now he's telling you, I make mention of you in my prayers. In other words, I talk to God about you. In other words, you are part of my praying. In other words, here's what I'm decreeing over your life. Here's what I'm speaking over your life. Now, how can possible the Lord may give you the spirit of wisdom? Wait a minute. How can he say the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge? How can he say that? Because he had a personal relationship, not just relationship, but intimate fellowship with the Father. And the revelation he got it by being intimate with the Father. Now watch. I'm going to show you something. Look at the Amplified. The Amplified Bible says, and I'm going to read the same, and I will get back in some things. For example, let me say this to you. Verse 17, that the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Now, this word wisdom is not the same wisdom that you know. Here's what it says, what it really means. Insight into the mind of God. The word wisdom means insight into the mind of God. You know the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth liberally. Wisdom, how do we, you know, some people say, well, you need wisdom. Wisdom to what? To apply the knowledge of God, someone said. Now, wisdom will give you the insight into how God thinks about something. This kind of wisdom here. You know, little band of people, what would Jesus do? You know how you get, what would Jesus do? Fellowship with the Father. Say, God, I want insight. How would you deal with this situation? And that's what most of us, we've been pushed into that realm by the failed attack. How are we going? What are we going to do? And it's a daily walk, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, we know the word, right? We know what the word says, but there's things that come up all, I mean, every day. Something good, something bad, something good. Now, how do you do that? Well, you can't depend on your own human ability. Because you know what? Being human as we are, do you know that you can be given scriptures in the natural and not being in the spirit? Thank you. You can. I'm telling you. So you just can't say, you know, the Bible says the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. When you speak a word, listen to me. I'm not against speaking the word of decree. I do that all. I try to do that every day. But I'm talking about when a matter, a situation, a attack, a problem, when that comes, I need to understand. I got to go to the Father. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Okay, Father, what do I do? Father, what am I supposed to do? How am I going to handle this situation? What am I going to do about this? How would you want me to handle this? Now, the best way is what? The word, right? We apply the word. What if the Lord was to tell you, what would happen to us? And I know that this church would obey it, but I know it. I was thinking about it today. With our men of God. Now, we know we're relentless in the word, don't we? The word, we speak the word, we decree the word, we speak that. Yeah, it's the word. I wonder how many of us will obey God if God says, here's how I want you to approach this thing. I'm married, how to do it good like a medicine. I want everybody in the church to start laughing. I'm telling you. And you know, we go there and stand in front of the pastor. Ha, 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 ha. Glory to God, pastor. The Bible says you've been healed by the stripes of the Lord. Ha, ha. You know, there's some of you, I'm telling you this, right? And we never once even thought about that. You know why? Because, now, hear me out. Hear my heart. The word. But it takes the Spirit. You cannot just use the word. It takes the anointing of the Holy Spirit to bring that word alive. Now watch. Look at what Paul said. It says wisdom, right? That he may give you the spirit of wisdom. That means insight into the mind of God. Now watch. And what else he says? And revelation. Well, we know that word, don't we, in this church? What does revelation mean? Can somebody help me preach tonight? What is revelation? What does revelation mean to you? Anyone? God reveals something. The word comes alive. Anybody else? Understanding you didn't have before. You know what that word revelation means? To take the cover off something. To open something to you. To be illuminated by something. It's like take the cap off. Something's just open to you. Just if something just open, you go, oh, like Mama said, something you haven't seen before in the Word. Something that you had. So everybody has a part to this. This it's not a puzzle, but the truth it is that God wants to take the cover off something. He wants to open something to you. We call it revelation. Now watch. Look at the next one. And what? In the knowledge of Him, right? Now, we've heard it. The Greek word there is epignosis, which means exact or correct knowledge. exact or correct knowledge of what? Of him. Now, let me read it to you in the Amplified. I love this. For I always, verse 17, for I always pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in, now listen to this, in insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. You know how that's going to come? By the Holy Spirit. Bible talks about that we must have fellowship with the Spirit. And I tell people all the time, people say, well, I got revelation for that. You know, you don't, listen, the Holy Spirit brings revelation of the Word, not the Word. It's not the Word that brings revelation. It is the Spirit that causes the Word to become alive on the inside of us. In the same token, Christ, the Redeemer, Christ, the Father, Christ, the Redeemer, does not come alive until the Holy Spirit reveals the reality of God to us. Who he is because of his character, because of who he is. But you got to spend time with him. It's not going to happen. But listen, I know a lot of people that know a lot of Bible. I mean, they can quote, they can quote scripture, I mean, left and right. You know what? They don't mean nothing. But I tell you what, I've been around people. Let me say this, and we'll get into that, people, in the latter classes that we're going to have. I've been around people that have calluses in their knees because they spend hour after hour after hour after hour after hour on their knees praying in the Holy Spirit, not only fellowshipping, but that fellowship turns into intercession. And you walk around these people, I'm telling you the truth. There's a man in Tulsa, Oklahoma that we call Brother D. That's what we know him for. That man has prayed for me since I was in school. For some reason, the Lord put me in his heart. And I remember I had not seen him in a number of years, and we came together in a tremendous prayer meeting that we had there in Tulsa. And I came along, and I stand there, and I'm telling you, Crystal, I stood in front of that man, and I literally could not even look at his eyes or his face. The love of God was radiating from that man that I could literally, because I just, there was something so holy about it, something about that, that I just could not even look at his face. Why? He'd been in the presence of God. Do you understand that what I'm talking about? You can be so intimate with God. I'm telling you, you can walk around places and people will know. You don't even have to preach to them. How do you know, brother? How can you say that, Brother Alfonso? It's happened to me. It's happened to me that I have spent time and time and time with God and go to, I've been to my own job. When I'm working, doing my job, and I had been, you know, 3 or 4 hours, been just loving the Father. I'm not talking about decreeing. I'm just saying loving the Father and spending time with him. You know what? May I say this to you? Here's how simple it is for me. There has been times that I have got on my knees before the Lord, and all I tell the Father over and over and over for hours, I love you, Father. I love you, Father. I haven't said anything else. I love you, Father. And I had the Holy Spirit in the presence of God overshadow me in my prayer time, so intimate. The Father just wants to love you. The Lord just wants to love you. The Holy Spirit just wants to bless you. And I've gone to my job and walked to my job. My manager, I was shipping and receiving part in the store that I, in a chain of stores that I work in, Sears. And that was my responsibility. And so I went in there, and I went to say hi to my boss in the morning. I said, how you doing? And I touched him. He goes, and I went. He began to weep, and he said, I don't know what it is, he says, but I felt love coming out of you. My boss, secular job. And I went, well, that's the Lord. And I'm standing, I went and started doing, had to do, you know, I continued working. It wasn't like I was so much in the spirit that You ever met people like that? Now, don't misunderstand. I've had the power of God hit me and shake me, and I shake. But you know, people that, in other words, they're trying to make you perceive the real spiritual. The man started crying. Then the person next to him came and said, Alfonso, can I? And begin. I had four people come to me that very day and just begin to weep and cry, and I led three of them to the Lord. One became a pilot. He one of my boys. He flies missionaries all over the world because he got saved under a Baptist boy, just a beautiful young man. And he never had he just knew about the Lord. He was raised Baptist and but I remember when I began to share with him and love him and all of a sudden he said, I want to make a deeper commitment to the Lord. And today he's flies missionaries all over the world. The girl, the lady that was immediately, she got back in fellowship with the Lord. And I mean, I led people to the Lord. And you know why? Because I was in the presence of the Father. Not trying to get something. When I talk about fellowship, I'm not talking about going to the Father and say all the things that you want, that you need, all your dreams. I'm talking about just having personal relationship. I've told people sometimes, in couples, you know, I've said, you know what? Don't be spiritual. Have fun with your spouse. You know, people won't be so spiritual. I said, if you go somewhere, don't go to church. Just go out and have fun. In other words, what are you saying? I want a fellowship with this person. In our life, you know, we really can't separate it. You know, life here and life and out in the world. But you know, how does a person feel when you make them the utmost part of your affection and attention to them, that it's all about them? Huh? What does that mean to you when you make that? It's not about here I go, football. It's not about golf, or it's not about anything. But you give yourself to that person and say, honey, I'm just here because I want to be with you. I enjoy being with you. I love being with you. I you know what? There's couples that live together. They know about each other, but they don't know each other. Huh? Yeah, no more golf, right? You know what I'm... But see, you know, people... Now watch, people... And I know many of you have made comments about, you know, I she's got my permission. If I say something here that is not true, she can stand up and say, he's lying. But there's not, I'm going to tell you something, but there's not a day, there's not a day that goes by that I don't look at this woman and say, honey, you are so beautiful. You are the love of my life. I am so grateful that the Lord has brought you into my life. I like to be with other people, but there's nobody in the world that I want to be more than with you. I don't need anybody in the world. All I know is that I have you, and you're so beautiful. You're a woman of God. And I mean, there's not a day that goes by I don't say that. Every day. Not like, you know what happens to couples? Oh, hi. And I, you know, I know this is the wrong place to talk, but I'm just telling you, I'm playing games anymore. There's not a sport or anything in the world that would take me away from spending time from this woman or the Father. I don't care how much you like football now. I don't care. Thank you for the enthusiastic response. I figured it wouldn't go good, but that's all right. But here it is. Yeah. Now watch. Verse 17 and the Amplified. For I always pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that Father God, may grant you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of Him. You know what it means? It means to have, the word fellowship means to be intimate, to have intimacy with the Father. There's another word that says, the Bible says, that we must become more acquainted with Him. The more you spend, not just on the word, see, that's what I said, the two essential important aspects of a Christian person is the word and fellowship with the Father. Because as you fellowship with the Father, that's how He becomes more real, because you know His word. But it takes the Holy Spirit to do that. Now let me go on here. Well, let's read verse 18 in the King James. In the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling and what is the riches of his glory and the inheritance of the saints. Look at verse in 19, in 18 on the Amplified. In having your eyes, the eyes of your heart, listen to this, flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. Look at verse 19, King James. And what the exceeding greatness of his power to us with who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Amplify. And so that you can know and understand what is the, what? Immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. God wants you, listen to me. Revelations talks about, people use the scripture in Revelations that about our knock at the door, right? And use that for salvation. You know that's not what he's talking about? That's not even what he's referring to. Now, I'm sure that we can apply that. Because as long as we can lead people to Christ, that's fine. But you people use that scripture. And you know what the whole essence of it? God is calling back a backsliding church. Because they have left. If you read the whole thing, he said, you have left your first love. God is calling them back, and he says, I knock at those stand. Listen, the one that opens, I will come and win sup with him. You know what that word sup means? Dine with you. To dine with you. In other words, to have that intimate time with you. Do you know that God wants to spend time with you? He wants to spend time with you. But you got to make time. Listen to me. How many of you know that we're busy in life as it is? There's stuff that we can and all that. But when people tell me they're too busy, I can tell you about their priorities. You can come up with every excuse you want. But the bottom line, you got your priorities all messed up. And you know what is you know, there is God's priorities and there's our priorities. You know, God's a jealous God. God says, you know what? I want you for myself. Well, you know, we wonder why husbands and wives get upset and get into squabbles. Why? Because either the wife or the man say, "Where you been?" You know, you can be at home and not be there. Oh, I won't go there. Huh? Now, I'm learning because she'll tell you. I'm not an easy guy to live with. I'm not. And it was going to take a strong woman like her that knows who she is to be able to put up with some of the things, shenanigans, that sometimes we guys come up with. Come on. So, but I do my best to make sure that I give her my time. We were going somewhere. I'm not sure. And you said, you're not going to take your golf clubs, remember? You said, I'm not where it was. I think we're going to Vegas with my family. So I'm not sure. We're going to go and spend a few days. He said, aren't you taking your golf clubs? I said, no. Why? Because I'm going there to be with you. I'm not going to play golf. Not against it, you know, but most of you know, man, I'm telling you, I'd be in the golf course every day if I could. But no, that's not, when I took that time, I took it because I wanted to spend time with my wife. I mean, the whole thing about it is, I want to, and you know what, we've been married a year, and we're still getting to know one another. And the reason why relationships get sour and relationships don't stay where they are, it correlates the spiritual relationship and personal relationships. Listen, the way you get to know the Father is the way you want to get to know the person that you love the most. Our children can only relate to the Father by the way they see us, how we act, and what we do in our homes. Our children will emulate that. And the kind of relationship, you know, God startled me one time. I was in prayer one time, and I was in prayer with the Father and just fellowship. And before I realized, my daughter Cherie was next to me, and I was just worshiping the Father. I had my eyes closed, and I began to pray in the Spirit, and all of a sudden I heard somebody go, tika tapa taka taka, tika tapa, and I go, and there's my daughter next to me. I said, honey, what are you doing? She said, I'm just praying with you, Daddy. And right then the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, the way your daughter will relate with God is how she relates with you as a father in this earth. And by doing that, listen to me, the more you spend time with the Father, the less situations that you'll come that you won't be able to handle. You will be able to handle things just like that. And not just in response with being nervous. No, you'll have an unshakable confidence. I know my Father, and I know He's going to take care of me. But you got to spend time. Let's go. I'm telling you, dear Lord. Go over to Colossians. I'm going to give you homework before we leave tonight. Well, go to Philippians before you go to Colossians. Go to Philippians. Chapter 3. Listen to this. Now, this is Paul speaking, right? Chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, I have count them lost for Christ. Right? Yea, doubtless, I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, of whom I have what? Suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but enchiladas, that I may win Christ. Well, you know what dung means, right? Now watch. Look at the Amplified on that. Look, I want to read 7 and 8 on the Amplified. But whatever former things I had that might have been gains to me, I have come to consider as one combined loss for Christ's sake. Yea, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, and the surpassing worth and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding Him more fully and clearly. For His sake, I have lost everything and considered all mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may gain Christ, the Anointed One. Did you hear what he said? Let me read that again. The surpassing worth and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. Paul said, I just don't want to know about Him. There's a lot of people that know about Him, but they don't know Him. But that's the difference. Because we word people got the answer. Well, brother, I know the word. Yeah, and that's why you're legalistic. Because that's not the character of Christ. But when you say, you know what? The Holy Spirit, as I have spent time with the Father, not only in fellowshipping with the Word, but I have spent time fellowship with Him. His Word has become more real to me. The Word has become alive inside of me. There's the preciousness. The adapted truth has become a living reality in my life. That changes the whole thing. Go over to Colossians. I'm just giving you a word. because in about a couple of minutes, we're going to practice that. We're going to practice how to spend time intimate, how to be intimate with the Father. And we're going to do it. Look at Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with what? The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Well, Paul taught that everywhere he went, didn't he? Have you noticed that? He talked about having an intimate relationship with God in the book of Ephesians. He talked about in Corinthians. He talked about in Philippians. Now he's talking over in the book of Colossians. Same thing. Different words, but same principle. Wisdom and spiritual understanding, verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being faithful or fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which had made us to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints of light. Now look, let me give you the amplifier on that. Verse 9. For this reason we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make special requests for you, asking that you may be filled with all the full, listen, deep and clear knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and in understanding and discerning or discernment of spiritual things. You're never going to get into the what we call the life in the Spirit or the deep things of the Spirit until you begin first to have fellowship with the Father. If you're busy and you don't have time for God, you're too busy. You know, Sheila said to me one time, he says, you know, honey, you're a lot nicer when you're in the Word. You know, in other words, I deal with things in everyday life if I don't lack off on my personal praise and worship, intimate time with the Father. Sometimes, now, and I don't do it all the time, but some, you know, and one thing you can't do. Let me just give you a little bit of a nugget here. Don't say tomorrow I'm going to spend an hour with God. You won't do it. You won't do it. But if you say, you know, Father, I'm going to spend time with you. You know what I was talking about? Not quantity, but quality. God just wants you to come and visit with you, with him. The Lord said that to me. I remember one time, I had been dealing with a situation. I just was quiet. And I had asked the Lord, please, God, show me what to do. And you know how sometimes you just get tired of asking? And I just said, Father, I've done that. I figured if you want to let me know, you just let me know. So I'm just going to worship you. And I began to fellowship with the Father, just let him know how much I love him, how I appreciate him, and what he means to me, who he is, and all that. And before you know it, the answer came to me. And I said, well, Lord, I wasn't even asking about that. I said, why did you do that? He said, because I've been waiting for you to visit with me. God is waiting. Listen, not just Sheila and I together, but God's waiting for Sheila to come and spend time with him. I can lead her by my example. I can't make her do those things. But if I lead by example, promise you, your wife, your children, and everyone around you will want to follow the example that you set before them as you take. That's why God is, I hear the Lord is talking a lot about setting order. Because you cannot expect your wife to be the one in leadership. Many women have been put in those situations. And I'm not judging anybody. No. And you can't expect your wife to do all the praying for you. That's not right. You say, well, I don't know a lot of things. Well, me neither. My goodness. But I do know one thing. I know enough that says, I'm going to lead my family. I'm going to lead my wife. I'm going to lead my family and say, okay, you know, let's say, you know what people say? We're going to have family time watching football. Please, I'm not against that. Don't take out of balance what I'm saying to you. But most people say, you know what I tell people? They say, well, we're going to stay home because we haven't been with our kids. And we haven't been, the last thing that your kids need is more of you. They need more of him. That's why we encourage people to bring their children. That's why we encourage our children to be here and watch us. You know, I want Javier to see his mom and I holding hands together and worshiping God together and loving God together. You know what? Sadly enough, he hasn't seen all that a lot, you know, more than he should. But we try to do that, to set the example. We're walking around our home. We're praying in tongues. We're worshiping God. We want Javier to see that. I don't want Javier to be learning things, things that he should be learning at home. The church is just an aid to what you should be teaching your children at home. The church is not the one that is responsible for the spiritual development of your children, but it is an aid to you to help you and complement what you're doing. The man of God can only give you the revelation, but he can't make you put the application of it or implementation of it unless you are willing to submit yourself to that, obey the teachings that the revelation comes as of the man of God. I can't make you pray. I can't make you read the word. I cannot make you do another thing. You're going to have to make up your mind and put the flesh under and say, I'm going to make this time. Not, well, tomorrow I'm going to spend an hour. No, you won't. You won't even spend 5 minutes. But just go there and begin to fellowship with the Father. Just go in there and begin to let, you know what fellowship is? Father, I love you. Father, I worship you. Father, I'm not here to ask anything of you. I'm not here to make all my declarations. I'm here to let you know that you mean everything to me. Oh, precious Lord, you're so good. You're so gracious. I worship you. I magnify you. I glorify you. You're so good to me. Lord, oh, Father, I just wanted to come and spend the time with you. I'm just here to let you know that I can't make it without you. You got to be part of my life. I've got to have you. I've got to have you in my life. Oh, blessed Redeemer, I worship you. I love you. I magnify you. I glorify you. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the King of Kings. You are so wonderful. You're so majestic. You're holy. You're august. You're supreme. You're wonderful. Oh, I love you. I worship you. I magnify you. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Oh, Father. Oh, that I want. My heart yearns to get to know you. My heart yearns to be in your presence. All I want to do is be with you. All I want to do is to let you know that you are everything to me. Oh, blessed Redeemer. Father, forgive me for being repetitious and tell you that I love you. But there's nothing that's more beautiful in my life that I can say to you. I love you, my Father. I worship you, my Father. I magnify you, my Father. Oh, blessed Redeemer, you're so good. I want you. I want you in my life. Oh, blessed Lord, you got to be part of my life. I cannot live without you. You got to come and help me. You got to help me walk this walk. I need you. Oh, blessed Father, I magnify you. I glorify your name. I praise and worship. I exalt the name that's above all names. Oh, Father, may I say to you again, you're so good. You're so wonderful. You're so full of love. You're full of mercy. You're full of grace. Oh, blessed Redeemer. Oh, I worship you. I magnify your name. I love you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. We love you, Father. We love you, blessed Redeemer. You know what happens? As you begin to do that, then you become more acquainted with him. You begin to know him more. And guess what? Before you know it, it's not just one way. It's not just one way. Before you know it, as you press into that and say, Father, I love you. Father, I love you. You know, Crystal, I look the dynamics of you and your daddy's relationship. You are daddy's girl. I'm telling you, I can tell that man loves his girl. I don't care how old you'll ever get. I don't care whatever God does in your life. You're always going to be daddy. daddy's girl. You're always going to be, that's my baby. That's my girl. That's, you know what? The father says, that's my son coming to me. That's my daughter spending time with me. All the here's what Jesus says. Father, Father, you got to listen to them. Why? Because they're coming in my name, and they're coming to you in my name. And look, Father, they finally got it. They do love you, Father. So you got to give your ears to them. You got to give your attention to them, Father. Why? Because they're praying in my name. And they're not asking for anything, Father. They're just loving you and worship you. That's exactly what takes place. I watched Javier one time, and I broke his heart one time because I was busy and I was caring. He wanted to hug me. He wanted to put his arms around me. And I said, "Oh, Javier, I'm busy right now." And I could see his heart just went. And I said, "Oh, Father, forgive me." And I went to his room and I put my arms around him. I said, "Hassan, I'm so sorry. You know what? Children are so easy. They just say, it's okay, Dada, it's okay." I said, "No, son, it's not okay. The Father wants you to spend time with him. There's nothing more precious than to hear our children come to us and say, Dad, Mom, or Dad, can I hang with you?" A survey was taken of young boys, 7 to 10 years old. And the question was asked, of all the things that you've ever done with your father, fun and everything else, what is the greatest thing that you've done with your dad that you just don't seem to forget about that? Well, in my pea brain that I have, I was thinking, well, maybe it depends on what the child loves. You know, maybe some kids like football or go to Disneyland or whatever. You know, I'm thinking go to a theme park. You know what they said? Well, the best thing for me is that I just want to hang around my dad. No matter what he's doing. God just wants us to hang around with him. It's not a deep teaching that I gave you. But I'm telling you, it'll change your life. It'll put everything in proper perspective for you. Because I'm telling you, may I say this, and please understand my heart. When I lavish my wife with that personal attention, and let her know how precious and how much she means to me, even when she does my ironing. "Baby, thank you so much for doing that for me." When she cooks breakfast for me, "Honey, thank you. I just want you, I appreciate you so much." You know what happens? I reap the benefits of that. And I tell couples, you can have your wife here and your husband, you can have your wife here. Why? If you take the time to let them know, don't expect, "Well, I'm the husband, bless God. You're supposed to do what I say." You keep doing that, you won't be married that long. But if you say, "Thank you." And you know, Crystal, sometimes we forget, don't we? "Father, thank you." I've done that so many times in my life. "Thank you, Father. Thank you, my Father." We were down going to Honda. And I kept listening to that song. And she and I were just there. I mean, we have revival in the car because we just, and sometimes she'll tell me, "Are you okay, honey?" Why? Because I got tears rolling down my eyes. And I'm not praying about anything. I'm not asking God for anything. And do I have needs? I needed them yesterday. I mean, you know, but I won't even, Cynthia, I'm not even talking about it. I don't think that way. I just go, "Father, thank you." And sometimes, I don't know how I drive, but sometimes I close my eyes. That's why baby doll has to say, "Honey, and I just worship. I'm intimate with the Father. I become intimate with the Father." You know how I'm getting to know this beautiful lady here, a woman of God? Because we've been spending more time together. We're learning things about one another. I'm learning things that I don't know that she has a reservoir of knowledge that she has that I'm benefiting. And then she's found out that I got things in my heart and in my spirit that she hasn't known. And we're having a dialogue spiritually. Why? We're getting to know each other. You know, the person next to you is the most powerful person you are in covenant with. And that's, many times, that's the least person that you know more about. Yes. So true. It has to be that way with the Father. I got to stop. It got to be that way with the Father. And you try, "I just don't want to know
about God. I want to know him. You don't want to know just about John. You want to know him. You want to know who he is. You want to know what moves them. You want to know what moves the Father, that you fellowship with him. That's what moves the Father. Father, thank you for tonight. I know it wasn't deep teaching. But Father, I pray that people leave out of this place with a hunger to know you, to start their life in the Spirit with the desire to get to know you, Father, more intimately, to progressively becoming more deeply and more acquainted with him, so when they can demonstrate the kingdom, they're demonstrated by that, as they said, and they took knowledge that they had been with the Master. I didn't go all there, but because there's so much to cover. But remember that they saw the disciples and they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. You spend time with God and the Father, people will know it. People know there's something different about you. They'll know there's something different about you. Not in any arrogant way, but they go, wait a minute, something's different about this man. Let me close with this. I remember one time I had. And I've tried this, I've said this before, I have tried to follow my life and spend time with God. I've done that for years and years and years. There was this particular lady that was very sick, and my mom had told her that I was a minister and that I was coming to visit. And the lady said, well, when he comes, can he pray for me? Because she was very ill. Doctors were not giving her a lot of hope. And so I got there, and you know, and if you know anything about Mexicans, man, I'm telling you, we have a party for every. I mean, we'll party, we just find good reasons. I mean, any reason just to eat food. So I got there. I mean, they had all kind of stuff set out for me, and it was late at night. But anyway, I got there, and the lady happened to be right next to my mom, and they introduced me. And I remember I shook her hand. I said, God bless you. And of course, they're all Spanish, so I'm talking to her in Spanish. And then she turned around like that, and she told my mom, and says, he doesn't have to pray for me. My mom said, what? When he touched me, I got healed. Never met me. Never been around her. But just by the touch of the Master. You know why? It wasn't because of Alfonso. It was because I spent time with the Father. Every day. Every day. Don't set time. Just do it. Don't pray. Make your confessions. You know, however it is that you discipline your life, but then spend time with him and let him know. I challenge you. Here's your homework for the next week. Find time and don't ask God for nothing. And just repeatedly, either if you one that sits down, if you one that needs, whatever it is that you use to fellowship, I want you to tell the Father how much you love him over and over again until you can't say it anymore. And then you'll come, and I promise you, you'll have a testimony of what God did for you. Happened to me many times. Many times. God bless you. It's a good day. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you.